Blog Talk Radio.
To all my people in the struggle, you think God's forgotten about you. Here's some pain medicine. Let's go! You in your car, you at the house, on your job, be encouraged, boo. Come on! A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
Shalom to the Mishpachah. All praises be unto the Most High Yah. Todah for the sacrifice of his dear son for the Mishpachah and the brothers. Long live the King, Yesha HaMashiach, who's on his way back to handle that business. Let me read this imprecatory prayer, a Psalm of David. Psalms 28. Because around here we understand that there are those that are our enemies, and Psalms 83 points them out. They are confederate against us, and they have decided to try and wipe us off the face of the earth and make us no more. But David would always pray Every trap that they lay for us, let us lay another. He said in Psalms 28, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because thy regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Most High, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your people. I thank you that it's the middle of the week. We're in the midst of the week, and some people may be going through, so give them encouragement, give them strength, Most High. Most High, Yah, we ask for you to be a help to those that are keeping these commandments. We pray for the remnant today, that they'll continue and go further in you. All praises be unto you, and we pray in the name of your dear son, Yeshua HaMashiach. So be it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesdays. I am Vitor Ra, and I am joined by my brother Demetrius Shalom. How you doing today, brother?
Oh, Shalom. All praises and honor to the Most High, and just thank the Most High for us being able to see another day today. That's a glorious day that the Most High has brought.
It's a glorious day. So you made it through the eclipse, because somebody said it was going to be the end of the world. I see you still here.
Yeah, they were running around here making a whole bunch of noise about all that and whatnot, you know. But, you know, there's only one thing that's going to make me act like that, and that's the Most High, or that's Yeshua cracking that firmament. Because, I don't know. I didn't understand the great excitement myself. People running around all over the place.
They're running around all over the place,
setting up their cameras and everything else.
The Edomites had glasses, eclipse glasses on, sitting in stadiums all together, like they was just about to witness the end of their kingdom, which is coming. and they know it's coming. So it's about time we stop worrying about these Edomites' business and getting all mixed up with these folks. We got folks running down to these protests, and we've been telling our people, stay away from those protests. You know, Exodus 23:2 said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. So we don't even understand how biblical it is that we're not supposed to be in the streets protesting, hollering about nothing. That ain't our business.
Exactly. You know, and plus, I guess they know what's going on. They know that all those things are evil. We know they are. So, like I said, we're just trusting in the Most High and going about our business.
Yeah, you know, I can't understand for the likes of me why they are all of a sudden wanting to snatch down these statues and these idols that shouldn't have been up anyway. And I think it's very interesting. I guess some of these folks don't want to go to the lake with the snake because they know that they're going to have to pay up for the sins that they've committed. Recompense is coming.
Exactly. Like you said, they're trying to join the John Brown Brigade.
See, you know, we got to stand strong, Hebrews. All you brothers, stand strong. We know HaShatan ain't letting up 1 second. Any crack or crevice he can find, he creeping up in there. We got to stand strong and be encouraged. But these Edomites, they understand this. Listen to this. I found this the other day, Numbers 35 and 33, before we get to the 12 patriarchs. Numbers 35 and 33 said, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are. He was talking to us. for blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Now, that's what these Edomites know. All the blood that they have shed, this earth cannot be cleansed from its defilement of the people they've murdered and killed until their blood has been shed. Did you hear that?
Exactly. You know, the life force is in the blood.
Yes. So we got some protests coming up here in the Bay Area this weekend, and I guess these folks getting they rocks and swords and shields together, and they're going to go after them and go against each other. I'm going to just look at them on the news and TV and shake my head, you know, because I'm not looking up for no eclipse. You know, I'm not looking for no eclipse. I'm looking up in the sky. He said for us to look to the hills and know that our redemption draws nigh. He told us to look to the sky for him to crack open that firmament while these clowns down here fighting for this little piece of earth that ain't theirs anyway.
Exactly. If you got to watch it, just like you said, watch from the comfort of your home. Don't go down there, you know, trying to see what's going on, because you might get caught up into something. And it hit, like I said, you know, you saw the police down in Charlottesville. They're protecting those racist groups. You go down there, they see you, and they say, "Oh, there's one." Next thing you know, you get nightsticked.
You know what's funny, Brother D, is that they came out with a movie, a superhero movie called Civil War, a year ago. And they always do predictive programming with these movies. And now the word has been put out that to let them just go at it from city to city, state to state, because why in the hell would you give somebody a permit to start these protests and riots? So the word has been put out to let America go ahead and go at it and let Trump just get everybody pissed off. And they want this place in disarray. We talking about the elite, the people that go to Bilderbergers, the people that go to the little into the woods. I forgot what you call that when they go to the woods over here every year.
Yeah, Bohemian
Grove. There you go.
Yeah.
All these meetings are because they trying to push all these people into a certain direction to destroy the populace. But first, what they want them to do is destroy each other. Then they'll come in and clean up the mess.
Yep. How else are they going to be able to declare martial law?
There you go. Yeah, and while everybody out here fighting, they're getting those internment camps cleaned up, ready, got the beds all made up, got the GMO food in there, and got the them little guillotines. They sharpen them up. They're going to be cutting heads off, and they got the chips ready. Go ahead and keep fighting out there. Y'all keep it up. I'm looking for the HaMashiach to come crack open the sky, and I'm trying to keep these commandments because that's my divine protection. And let the Ruach lead me and guide me.
And what these hate groups don't understand is they're going to be herded in them FEMA camps too. Because they're not the elite that they might think they want to be, or in the club that they think they want to be. You know, they're looking at them as one of the average people out there that they're trying to get rid of as they try and cut the population down.
That's right. That's right. And they coming to get those people, these paid agent Hebrews out there with them stars of Satan on, talking about the star David. There ain't no star David. Ain't no star Solomon. That's the star Remphan. That's a hexagram you wearing. They got you out there trying to make all those that are waking up look real bad so that they can put that guilt by association on us. But they going to round them. They going to round them up too. Had enough of them shouting at each other and shouting at the Edomites and telling the women we're going to rape you and we're going to do this. They're going to say, okay, that's enough of that crap. They're going to lock their butts up too.
Exactly. Your work is done here. Because, you know, they got to know, especially with everyone telling, they got to know that those are just hexagrams, pentagrams. They got to know that those are, that's not no star, David. And so they know exactly what's going on. Like you said, you know, they're gonna say, "Okay, you've done your job. Let's go."
Yeah, you know, Aquinas is kept. A lot of them might be Freemasons and Satan worshipers, and they just mocking us and mimicking us, just like these Baptist church deacons do. I heard just the other day that these Freemasons and Shriners inside the Black Baptist Church, they don't go to the Mason Hall all the time. Sometimes they use the church on Friday night and Saturday night to do their satanic rituals, and then they go to church on Sunday playing games. Man, it's a mess. It's a mess out here.
Yeah, that it is.
Goat riders. So Hebrews, y'all stand strong, keep your head up and be encouraged. You do what you do, because I'm hearing people just watching all this new stuff and they're becoming confused. They're getting stressed out, worried about the economy and all that. Let's keep our focus and let's keep moving. Let's just keep moving. Keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing, and he will bless you. Just keep going forward. Keep going strong. Don't get caught up in the fray. If we bend our ear too much to what the world is saying, what they're doing, their gossip, their tail bearing, then it's going to taint your spirit, your soul. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. So that's what this Inspirational Wednesday is designed to try to keep us on point while we waiting on the Shabbat and the holy days to keep them and gather and encourage one another. We got to count it all joy. So with that being said, Brother D, I'm going to get into the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs. It's been a series we've been doing on Wednesdays. You understand about the Testament of the Patriarchs. They were spoken of. The 12 patriarchs are spoken of in the New Testament, I believe in the book of Hebrews, but there's also separate books for all 12 brothers who will be 12 of the 24 elders that are up in glory with the Most High Yah. And they left specific instructions for their children, their offspring. They gave them prophecy of what was going to fall upon them. And some of the ones I've really enjoyed is Zebulun and Naphtali. Learned a lot from the first brother.
Simeon?
What's his name?
Simeon. Oh, no, Reuben.
I'm sorry? Reuben.
Is that Reuben?
There you go. Reuben.
Yeah, okay.
And, of course, us being Judah, learned a lot from him, and he wasn't off at all. Judah still got those curses on him. So if you get a chance, go back on Wednesdays and listen to the series, or else pull up the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs by R.H. Charles, because they're very prophetic, very insightful, and they totally destroyed this 12 tribe chart. The book of Asher 7:7 told them that you all are going to forget what tribe you came from. And I think these Hebrews are adding to that by trying to tell people who are the 12 tribes and who's who with that lion chart. Listen, there wasn't one brother who was Mexican and one brother who was Puerto Rican and one brother who, they were all of the same lineage. So you need to understand that a leopard can't change its spots. A leopard is always going to be a leopard, if you understand what I'm saying and what I'm getting at. So today we're going into what's interesting is the book of Joseph, who became a advisor in Egypt and helped to save the family. And he's also the one that they sold into slavery. And Joseph was the 11th son. So after we do this one, we'll have just one left. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading for the DR. I don't know if you want to read or I can read. Just stop me at any time you want to comment.
Okay, I will. I'll stop you when I see something. But you go right on ahead and wax eloquently.
Okay, no worries. All right, reading from the book of the Testament of Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob and Rachel. The copy of the Testament of Joseph, when he was about to die, he called his sons and his brethren together and said to them, interesting, he called his sons and his brethren. Now, that was different. Everybody else just called their children. He said, my brethren and my children, hearken to Joseph, the beloved of Israel. Give ear, my sons, unto your father. I have seen in my life envy and death. Yet I went not astray, but preserved in the truth of the Most High. These, my brethren, hated me, but the Most High loved me. They wished to slay me, but the Yah of my fathers guarded me They let me down into a pit, and the Most High brought me up again. Can you imagine he's dying and he's saying this to his children in front of the men that did all this to him? Boy, I know guilt ate them up after he had restored them.
It did. But Joseph told them that it was all of the Most High, and he totally forgave them because he said, this is the Most High's doing. He had a plan, and that was to save Israel because of the famine that was to come.
Yes, yes, sir. Verse 5, I was sold into slavery, and the Most High of all made me free. I was taken into captivity, and his strong hand succored me. I was beset with hunger, and the Most High himself nourished me. I was alone, and Yah comforted me. I was sick, and the Most High visited me. I was in prison, and my Yah showed favor unto me in bonds, and he released me. Slandered, and he pleaded my cause. Bitterly spoken against by the Egyptians, and he delivered me. Envied by my fellow slaves, and he exalted me. All praises. Chapter 2. And this chief captain of Pharaoh entrusted me his house, and I struggled against a shameless woman, urging me to transgress with her. But the Most High of Israel, my father, delivered me from the burning flame. I was cast into prison. I was beaten. I was mocked. But the Lord granted me to find mercy in the sight of the keeper of the prison. For the Most High doth not forsake them that fear him. That's good right there. Neither in darkness, nor in bonds, nor in tribulations, nor in necessities.
Go
ahead.
And that's when we really need to cry out to him and fear him and wait for him to, or get him to help us. We got to cry out to him, especially when we're in these times of tribulations.
Yes, yes. You're absolutely right. He's making it so clear right here. He said he will not forsake those that fear him. And fear is that reverential respect where you say, nah, I'm not about to go sin to satisfy my urges. I'm not going to go worshiping idols or start fornicating or falling into adultery because I'm going through some problems in the house. And nah, I fear Yah. I'm not going to walk away from these commandments when it's getting dark, when the money getting funny, when I'm in jail and asking, why the hell am I in jail? What did I do to get here? Or in necessities. So this man is really testifying because he's the one that went through it. This is powerful coming from Joseph. Let me finish this off. He said, for Yah is not put to shame as a man, nor as the son of man is he afraid, nor as one that is earthborn is he weak or affrighted. But in all things, I have to repeat this. He says, but in all things doth he give protection. And in diverse ways does he comfort. Though for a little space he departeth to try the inclination of the soul. In 10 temptations he showed me approved. And in all of them I endured. For endurance is a mighty charm. And patience giveth many good things. Good Lord, I got to pause. Listen, Joseph said that he endured 10 temptations. But prior to that, he said that the Most High pulled himself back to prove his soul, to see what he would do so that he would know where he stood with the Most High. Will you stand strong? I've given you free will. We have free will. It was Joseph that said what the devil meant for evil, Yah turned it around for good. When that thing comes in like a flood, when that thing comes in like a flood, the Most High wants to see if you will allow him to pull you out. Because with every temptation, he provides a way of escape. And some people will not. You know, most people, Brother D, wouldn't have ran out the room when the man's wife was trying to have sex with him. Joseph ran. Most brothers' feet turn to cement. Yeah, brothers be stuck. Get stuck.
Yeah, what can I
do? Go ahead, what were you going to say?
Some of us would have turned the other way after one temptation. You know, he had to suffer 10, but some of us just one temptation. You know, they're turned the other way and fleeing from the Most High and doing what thou wilt, as they like to say.
Right. I mean, if you're going to say you love him and you're going to keep these commandments and you want to be, a leader in the kingdom and you want to make it, okay, we're going to see. We're going to see if you're worthy of that. There's a blessing on the other side if you endure. I'm so glad Joseph endured, because that's why we have these stories of the 12 patriarchs, because Jacob and the other brothers was about to starve and die. There was a famine in the land. But because he endured, he was able to preserve many. So you enduring is the possibility that it's going to be a blessing. Not a possibility, it's a fact that you're probably going to be blessing thousands if you endure. So what the scripture says, endure hardness like a good soldier.
And we've been a fly on the wall when he revealed himself to his brothers, because he called for Joseph, and they're looking all around, looking through this door and that door, and see Joseph where he would come in at, and then he told them, "I'm Joseph," because they didn't know who he was.
Right. So endure hardness, Hebrews, like a good soldier, because trouble don't last always, and joy always comes in the morning. And he said, count it all joy when you're going through these trials. So we have to become duplicitous in this manner. I'm going through hell, but I'm happy in Yeshua HaMashiach. Things ain't right, money ain't right, but I got my peace of mind and I got some simple things. That's why he said be content with all things. You have to learn, Hebrews, how to go through a trial and be joyful and say, I know this is going to pass and I'm going to endure, and prove that you love the Father. Prove that you're worthy. And let that be a sign between the people, you and the people, so they'll see that, you know, you can't be fazed. I'm going to tell you, the more stuff you go through, the stronger you'll get spiritually. And the stronger you get spiritually, yeah, hallelujah, the stronger you get spiritually, the more them demons be running away from you. They be scared to mess with you, because we have the power to cast them out, rebuke them, and tear them down. We know the word, and we can speak the word, and demons have to flee. They have to. No weapon formed against us can prosper.
They know. Sorry, if you're you fear the Most High and you're following those commandments, statutes, and laws, they know that you know what's going on, and if they do try to attack you, all you're going to do is get stronger. Because you got to say, if they're here trying to turn you away, you know the Most High is there keeping you strong.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. You ain't doing nothing but getting stronger, and they know it. All they doing is putting a couple of more weights on the bar, helping you do a few more reps so you can get a little bigger and stronger.
Hallelujah.
Let me go to chapter 3. How often did the Egyptian woman threaten me with death? How often did she give me over to punishment? Boy, them dang Jezebels. And then call me back and threaten me. When I was unwilling to company with her, she said to me, thou shalt be Lord of me and all that is in my house. If thou will give thyself unto me, thou shalt be as thy master. Boy, she wanted to sleep with Joseph. But I remember your words. Man, she was, boy, what was wrong with this woman?
You ready to throw her husband over? This point, so she can get that pleasure, and Joseph know what she's going to do after that. She's going to accuse him of rape.
Right. Right. It's always a setup, ain't it, brother?
Yep. Exactly. We need to know that, especially in these days.
Yeah, brothers be thinking they gonna creep real quick, and then she gonna pop up at your front door and holler at your wife, talking about, I need to holler at you.
Some noise in the background. Hold on. Let me mute this for a second. You go right ahead.
Go ahead. All right. Yeah, that, you know, you brothers better gird up your loins, as the scriptures said, because she'll pop up at your job talking about you thought she was going to leave me, or I'm pregnant, or she'll give you a package to take home. So gird up your loins, because it's all in cracking out here. I know these demon spirits, I can tell they have escalated, causing problems in homes, marriage, with the kids, with the family, with the finances. I can see that these spirits are on the attack of you Hebrews keeping these commandments, but it's not going to last. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Let's get back to Joseph and this lustful, clandestine, wicked woman, Jezebel, is trying to get him to just commit adultery, fornication. Listen to what Joseph said. She said, "Thou wilt give thyself unto me, and thou shalt be as our master. But I remembered the words of my father, and going into my chamber, I wept and prayed unto the Most High. And I fasted in those 7 years. And I appeared to the Egyptians as one living delicately. For they that fast for Yah's sake receive beauty of face." Did you hear that, people? Fasting will cause the glory to emanate from your face, and people can see it. It brings forth the spirit and causes a breaking of your flesh and your soul, and that the anointing of the Ruach can be seen. Joseph just said that the people could see from his fasting. They could see it on his face. So we know that these kind come out but by fasting and prayer. He was so broken of resisting his temptation and flesh that he would just cry and pray. Good stuff. 3 and 5.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know how that is too. You know, when you're tempted, you know, we're tempted. You stay with the Most High, and you don't entertain those thoughts. But Joseph was getting that on a daily basis, having to keep beating back those temptations, and you know that was a hard thing to do. But he trusted in the Most High, stayed with the Most High.
Yes. Listen to verse 5. This is getting pretty good about the things he did in order to receive that position that he had. The Most High had to take him through these things before he could position him. He said, "And if my Lord were away from home," meaning the master of the house, the woman's husband, "he said, I wouldn't drink no wine." Therefore, that's very wise. He didn't want himself to become drunk and then become tempted and go lay with her. He said, "I would drink no wine, nor for 3 days did I take my food." So he would fast as well to keep his flesh in check. And then it says, "I gave it to the poor and sick, my food and wine. I gave it to them. And I sought the Most High early, and I wept for the Egyptian woman of Memphis. For very unceasingly did she trouble me." Just kept coming at it. "But also at night she came.
Can I say something? You know, back when he says that he fasted for 3 days, and they've done studies to where when you're denied food and you deny things like when you're denied food, sex takes a back seat. That's not what you need. You're not looking for sex. You're looking for that food. And so that helped him get past that temptation.
Yes. 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 And that'll help you to put that sex drive in check for some of you brothers and sisters out there having some struggles in that area with your flesh. You need to fast. Joseph fasted for 3 days and put the wine down and the strong drink if you're having troubles in the flesh. And then,
yeah, because you see these people, you know, they're drowning their sorrows and alcohol or whatnot. And they're just being more susceptible to things. They're being susceptible to those demons coming in. And so that's not the way to go. You know, when you go to the Most High, you fast, you pray. You don't decide to drown your sorrows in the bottle, because that's just going to lead you down the wrong road.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. It's definitely going to cause you to lose touch with what you should be doing, and you're going to give in to the dictates of the flesh because you're going to be drunk. So, you know, those of you who are single, you should do a lot of fasting and praying to keep yourself in check. You married folks, I guess y'all can have at it.
With each other.
with each other. Yes, say it again. Amen. With each other. Stay within your own house. Don't start looking over the fence.
Exactly.
Okay, and for a time she embraced me. Wait, he said she kept coming to him at night under the pretense of visiting him. And because she had no male child, she pretended to regard me as a son. Talking about, oh, yeah, you my son, and trying to sleep with him at the same time. This is crazy. And so I prayed to the Lord, and she bare a male child. And for a time she embraced me as a son, and I knew it not. But later she sought to draw me into fornication. And when I perceived it, I sorrowed unto death. And when she had gone out, I came to myself and lamented for many days, because I recognized her guile and her deceit. And I declared unto her the words of the Most High, if happily she would turn from her evil lust. Chapter 4. Often, therefore, did she flatter me with words as a holy man, and guilefully in her talk praise my chastity before her husband, while desiring to ensnare me when we were alone. Telling her husband, oh, he's a nice young man. Waiting for her husband to leave and be telling her, come here, boy. That's a mess. Let me finish reading this. For she lauded me openly as chaste, and in secret she said unto me, fear not, my husband, for he is persuaded concerning thy chastity. For even should one tell him concerning us, he would not believe. Owing to all these things, I lay upon the ground and besought the Most High, Yah, would deliver me from her deceit. And when she had prevailed nothing thereby, she came again to me under the plea of instruction, that she might learn the word of Yah. And she said unto me, if thou willest that I should leave my idols, lie with me, and I will persuade my husband to depart from his idols, and we will walk in the law of the Most High. And I said unto her, the Lord willeth not that. Man, that is some cold-blooded, sneaky, underhanded. If you,
isn't
man,
it?
Listen, she said, if you will sleep with me, I'll keep the commandments, and then I'll tell my husband to keep them too. What the?
I'm telling you, that is some Jezebel stuff there. I mean, that's right, Jimmy. They're just looking at that, that she's going to, you know, try and reward, supposedly reward him with, I'll walk in the Most High's ways. I'll think the way you think. I'll be righteous to the Most High if you commit this sin with me. I'm telling you.
Let me continue. The Lord willeth not that those who reverence him should be in uncleanness, nor doth he take pleasure in them that commit adultery, but in those that approach him with a pure heart and undefiled lips. But she held her peace, longing to accomplish her evil desire. And I gave myself yet more to fasting and prayer, that the Most High might deliver me from her, because she just kept pounding on him. I mean, she taking off clothes, flashing him everything. Probably touching on him, he running, because she grabbed his coat. Don't forget, she grabbed his clothes to strip him naked.
He wasn't given the program, so she's going to force the issue.
Right. Chapter 5. And again, at another time, she said unto me, if thou will not commit adultery, I will kill my husband. Wow. If I will kill my husband by poison and take thee to be my husband. I therefore, when I heard this, ripped my garments and said unto her, woman, reverence Yah, and do not this evil deed, lest thou be destroyed. That's how you got to talk to that demon. For know indeed that I will declare this thy device unto all men. She therefore, being afraid, besought that I would not declare this device, meaning go tell people what she said she was going to do. And she departed, soothing me with gifts and sending me to every delight, sending to me every delight of the sons of men. And afterwards she sent me food mingled with enchantments. And when the eunuch who brought it came, I looked up and beheld a terrible man giving me with the dish a sword. And I perceived that her scheme was to beguile me. And when she had gone out, I wept, nor did I taste that or any other of her food. So then after one day, she came to me and observed the food and said unto me, why is it that thou hast not eaten of the food? And I said unto her, it is because thou hast filled it with deadly enchantments. That's some serious discernment the Most High gave him to see that there was something in the food. Y'all got to be careful eating other people's food, because that's something they used to do down south. Women would put menstrual blood in the people's food so she can get the man and practice all manner of witchcraft. I put all types of ointments in there that will cause you to be sick. So it's important to walk with the Most High and have discernment and know what's going on.
Exactly.
And he said, I said unto her, it is because thou hast filled it with deadly enchantments. And how saidest thou, I come not near to idols, but to the Most High alone. Now, therefore, know that the Yah of my father hath revealed unto me by his angel thy wickedness. See, he made it clear that the angel came and showed him and told him and spoke to him, don't eat this food. And I have kept it to convict thee, if haply thou mayest see and repent, but that thou mayest learn that the wickedness of the ungodly have no power over them that worship Yah. You hear that, Brother D?
I hear it. I said she's intent
said,
on what she's trying to do.
Eat this food. Yeah, say it again.
I said no, she was intent on what she was trying to do, and even seeing how the Most High was protecting him, sent his angels to him to let him know he knew what she was doing, but she was caught up in her lust, and she was trying
right.
to see that to the end.
He made it clear that he didn't eat the food because the angel told him not to eat it, and he left it out for her to see so that she would know as a testimony that the Most High will let no wickedness have power over them that worship him. So if we stay in worship and keep these commandments, there's no witchcraft that can work on us. There's no sins that can work on us. Joseph is testifying to this. And this is something I always tell people. That stuff doesn't work on the saints of the Most High, the saints of Yah. That wickedness, that stuff does not work. They can go get seance. They can go get witches to try to cast spells. They can try to put a rope underneath your sink or whatever they do. Burn a candle in the window. That stuff is not working on the people of the Most High. Who keep the commandments.
Yeah. And it really does when you're reading about this in the book, it doesn't totally do justice to how hard she came at him. And this testament here really shows you really how hard she came at him and what Joseph had to endure to get through this.
Yeah. Well, this book of Joseph is really, really good. I admonish people to get this book, The 12 Patriarchs. This book of Joseph is a little long. I'm hoping I can finish it. Let me read the rest. Go ahead.
But we don't need these books here. The Council of Nicaea decided which books we need to use and read, and this is one that they thought we needed to read.
Exactly. And you know the Council of Trent and Nicaea that took the books and going to decide what the Bible is, they are the ones that Psalms 83 speaks of, where they all got together and said, let's wipe these people off the face of the earth and make them a nation no more. That means don't let them read their history books. Don't let them figure this out. Don't give them anything that will strengthen them. And all of these books were meant to strengthen us. So
and that
this gets...
That worked. And that worked for a long time, but, you know, as the Most High said, he would start an awakening in these end days, and he's awakened us.
Yes. 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 So Let me get into some more. This is really good. Listen to what he did, Saints. Listen, Hebrews. Listen to this. He said, "I wanted you to understand that wickedness of the ungodly have no power over them that worship the Most High Yah with chastity." And he said, "Behold, I'm going to take this and eat it in front of you." And having said this, he prayed to the Most High. He prayed to the God of my fathers and the angel of Abraham. He said, "Be with me." And I ate it. And when she saw this, she fell on her face at my feet, weeping. And I raised her up and admonished her. And she promised to do this iniquity no more. He kept it until she came, prayed, told him to take out all the infirmity, ate it in front of her and said, "Now what?" And she seen that it had no effect. The poison, it didn't kill him. Got to pray over your food, saints. It's very serious. Chapter 7. But her heart was still set upon evil, and she looked around how to ensnare me. So at this point, she's become obsessed. That demonic sex spirit demon that was on her was about as strong as the ones that was in Sodom and Gomorrah, where the men wanted those two angels inside of Lot's house. This spirit on her was strong. She was desperate to get him to commit adultery. And sighing deeply, she became downcast, though she was not sick. When her husband saw her, he said unto her, "Why is thy countenance fallen?" And she said unto him, "I have a pain at my heart, and the groanings of my spirit oppress me." And so he comforted her who was not sick. Then accordingly, seizing an opportunity, she rushed unto me while her husband was yet without, and said unto me, "I will hang myself or cast myself over a cliff, if thou wilt not lie with me." And when I saw the spirit of Belial was troubling her, I prayed unto the Most High and said unto her, "Why, wretched woman, art thou troubled and disturbed, blinded through sins? Remember that if thou kill thyself, Asteo, the concubine of thy husband, thy rival, will beat thy children, and thou wilt destroy the memorial from the earth." And she said unto me, "Lo, then thou lovest me. Let this suffice me. Only strive for my life and my children, and I expect that I shall enjoy my desire also." But she knew not that because of my Lord I spake thus, and not because of her. For if a man hath fallen before the passion of a wicked desire and become enslaved by it, even as she, whatever good thing he may hear with regard to that passion, he receiveth it with a view to his wicked desire. I want to say something that Satan had entered into this woman to give her such a strong desire. She became possessed by demons in order to get to Joseph because the demons knew what his assignment was and what he was about to do. So a demon possessed the woman to seduce him. So brothers, y'all gotta don't be falling for that stuff of a woman catching your eye or switching and twitching in front of you, because a demon will jump into her just to get you. And you'll be like, "Is she looking at me?" You know, some brothers be like, you'll even ask yourself, "I don't know what she's seeing me." No, she don't see nothing in your behind. She don't see nothing in you. It's a demon that's trying to get you to break the statutes, laws, and commandments and take your testimony and destroy your home, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So he'll jump in her to get you to commit fornication, then go back before the Most High and say, "See, he ain't worthy." Let me continue. Chapter 8. "I declare therefore unto you, my children, that it was about the sixth hour when she departed from me. And I knelt before the Most High all day and all the night. And about dawn, I rose up weeping the while and praying for a release from her." Boy, this is going on and on and on. "At last, then she laid hold of my garments, forcibly dragging me to have connection with her. When therefore I saw that in her madness she was holding fast to my garment, I left it behind and fled away naked." So he ripped himself out the clothes that she was trying to rip off of him. She obviously was probably naked as well, and he got up out of there. and holding fast to the garment she
madness.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I said it said in her madness. So you know in the demon was working overtime.
Man, she. Why would somebody? Man, that demon had her so obsessed. I could just imagine the fury in her eyes. Like I gotta have. It wasn't even her. It was those demons that had taken her over. And holding fast to the garment, she falsely accused me. And when her husband came, he cast me into prison in his house. And on the morrow, he scourged me and sent me into Pharaoh's prison. And when I was in bonds, the Egyptian woman was oppressed with grief. And she came and heard how I did thanks unto the Most High. I sang praises in the darkness and with a glad voice rejoiced, glorifying the Most High, that I was delivered from the lustful desire of the Egyptian woman, that he was put in jail. But he said, at least I'm away from her and she can't get to me. And I did not break the commandments. I did not do adultery.
But she couldn't even leave him alone. She couldn't leave him alone. And this even when he was, even when he's put in jail.
Yeah, she's still trying to come to the jail and break in.
Yeah, she's probably looking at that. Hey, I can get you out of here if you do what I want, or I do, hoping that Joseph would then succumb to her. But you know, he went through what he'd already went through. You know, this was just another part of the trial, as far as he was concerned.
Right. Let's see. It says, and often hath she sent unto me, saying, consent to fulfill my desire, and I will release thee from thy bonds. There you go. And I will free thee from the darkness. And not even in thought did I incline unto her. For the Most High loveth him who in a den of wickedness combines fasting and chastity, rather than the man who in king's chambers combines luxury with license. And if a man liveth in chastity and desireth also glory in the Most High, knoweth that it is expedient for him, he bestoweth this also upon me. How often, though she were sick, did she come down to me at unlooked for times, and listen to my voice as I prayed. And when I heard her groanings, I held my peace. For when I was in her house, she was wont to bare her arms and breasts and legs, that I might lie with her. So there it is right there, that she would always come around him making sexual groans and desires and noises around him. She probably was doing things. This woman was obsessed. It sounds like she's masturbating in front of him. It said that she was showing him her breasts and rubbing on her breasts, her legs. She bare her arms, breasts, and legs. So there it is right there, trying to get him to lie down with her. She was giving him a full strip show while he was in prison. This is ridiculous.
She most likely had done this to other men, and you know, in her husband's household, and they succumbed easily, and she just couldn't understand how Joseph could avoid or could stay away from her or keep himself from succumbing to her.
I'm going to say something that I noticed in here, sisters. It says not just her breasts, but let's pay attention to the fact it said that she was bearing her arms, bearing her legs. So you occultees need to cover up.
Yeah.
Cover up. That's right.
Because you know, a man sees a woman walking down the street and she's bearing her legs. She's got these real short shorts on and everything else. Automatically, all of a sudden, the eyes go there. And then you have to be able to say, hey, I can't stay in this. I look the other way. Because the more you look, the more you want to give into your lust. The lust of the flesh.
Yeah, ain't that something? What she was doing to seduce him. That's how they live today on the streets. They walk around with breasts out, arms out, legs out. That's how they live. So we have to deal with this every day. That's why we have to be even stronger. Let's see. I'm going to go to chapter 10 while we got time. Ye see, therefore, my children, how great things patience worketh and prayer with fasting. So ye too, If you follow after chastity and purity with patience and prayer with fasting and humility of heart, the Most High will dwell among you because he loves chastity. And wheresoever the Most High dwells, even though envy or slavery or slander befalleth a man, the Most High who dwelleth in him, for the sake of his chastity, not only delivers him from evil, but also exalteth him even as me. For in every way the man is lifted up, whether in deed or in word or in thought. My brethren knew how my father loved me, and yet I did not exalt myself in my mind. Although I was a child, I had the fear of Yah in my heart, for I knew that all things would pass away. And I did nor raise myself against them with evil intent, but I honored my brothers, and out of respect for them, even when I was being sold, I refrained from telling the Ishmaelites that I was a son of Jacob, a great man and might. Do ye also, my children, have the fear of Yah in all your works before your eyes. Honor your brothers, for everyone who doeth the law of the Lord shall be loved by him. And when I came to the Indocopite with the Ishmaelites, they asked me, saying, "Are thou a slave?" And I said, I was a homeborn slave, that I might not put my brothers to shame. And the eldest of them said unto me, "Thou art not a slave, for even thy appearance doth make it manifest." But I said that I was their slave. Now, when we, go ahead.
Yeah. Before you go on, this shows the love that Joseph had for his brothers. He didn't want to put them to shame. Yeah, most people said, "Yeah, my brother did this to me. Yeah, his name is this. This is where he lives. His phone number and everything else." But you know, he didn't want to put his brother to shame, so he didn't tell him who he was and who his father was. As you see, he says father was a great man.
Right. Okay, let me finish. Finish reading. Brother D, do you see where I left off?
Okay, yeah, let's see. It was where he put, he didn't want to put his brethren to shame. See, I'm looking at a different one than you have. I don't have the same, verses and numbers. He said, "Art thou a slave?" And I said that I was a homeborn slave, that I might not put my brethren to shame. Eldest of them said unto me, "Thou art not a slave, for even thy appearance doth make it manifest." But I said that I was their slave. Now when we came into Egypt, they strove concerning me, which of them should buy me and take me. So they was vying for him. This is Joseph was someone that they all wanted. So they were fighting amongst themselves who should be making him, who should make them their slave. Therefore it seemed good to all that I should remain in Egypt with the merchant of their trade until they should return bringing merchandise. And the Most High gave me favor in their eyes of merchants, and he entrusted unto me his house. And Yah blessed him by my means and increased him in gold and silver and in the household servants. And I was with him 3 months and 5 days. And about that time, the Memphian woman, the wife of Pentephras, came down in a chariot with great pomp because she had heard from her eunuchs concerning me. And she told her husband that the merchant had become rich by means of a young Hebrew, and they say that he had assuredly been stolen out of the land of Canaan. Now therefore, render justice unto him, and take away the youth to thy house, so shall the Most High of the Hebrews bless thee, for grace from heaven is upon him.
Yeah, I want to say something real quick before we go to 13. I want to say something real quick. There was favor on him everywhere he went. They couldn't even do wrong, but blessings came upon them just for having him. So the Most High constantly gave him favor with men just from keeping contact. I'm hoping that we can finish this, brother, because it goes from 13. This has 20 chapters. I'm hoping we can finish it today. We've done a complete hour. But you were going to say, go ahead.
And Pentephras was persuaded by her words and commanded the merchant to be brought and said unto him, what is this that I hear concerning thee, that thou stealest persons out of the land of Canaan and sellest them for slaves? But the merchants fell at his feet and besought him, saying, I beseech thee, I know not what thou sayest. And Pentephras said unto him, whence then is the Hebrew slave? And he said, the Israelites entrusted him unto me until they should return. But he believed him not, but commanded to him to be stripped and beaten. And when he persisted in his statement, Pentephras said, let the youth be brought. And then I was brought in, I did obeisance to Pentephras, for he was third in rank of the officers of the Pharaoh. That he didn't even bring in Joseph to start out with to ask him. He beat the man even before he brought him in to talk to him.
Right.
And he took and he took me apart from him and said unto me, art thou a slave or free? And I said, a slave. And he said, whose? And I said, the Israelites. And he said, how didst thou become their slave? And I said, they brought me out of the land of Canaan. And he said unto me, truly thou liest. And straightway he commanded me to be stripped and beaten. I didn't say that. Yeah, like I said, that's the importance of these books. It tells you everything that happened. Now, he had Joseph stripped and beaten, you know, because Joseph said he was a slave. Now, the Memphian woman was looking through a window at me while I was being beaten for her house. For her house was near. And she said unto him, saying, thy judgment is unjust, but thou dost punish a free man who hath been stolen, as though he were a transgressor. And when I made no change in my statement, though I was beaten, he ordered me to be imprisoned until he said the owners of the boy should come. And the woman said unto her husband, wherefore dost thou retain the captive and well-born lad in bonds, who ought rather to be set at liberty and be waited upon? For she wished to see me out of the desire of sin, but I was ignorant concerning all these things. And he said to her, it is not the custom of Egyptians to take that which belongs to others before proof is given. This, therefore, he said, concerning the merchant, but as for the lad, he must be in prison. Now, after
you know,
four,
I want to say something, brother, real quick. Yeah. See, it's amazing that the brothers are just now hearing all this stuff that happened to him after they sold him. So the brothers are tripping out. He's telling them how he was beaten and all the things that happened to him. So Joseph went through hell before he came into prominence. And I know the brothers was tripping, but later on he helped them to understand that they had to do that thing because it was all a part of the Most High's will. You know, he's the one who hardened Pharaoh's heart so that we could be set free. So it's many things that transpired that we just don't understand. And we need to understand that the Most High is in control of every aspect of our lives and everything that comes our way. If things don't happen, and he determines when they should happen. So I just wanted to say that real quick.
Okay. All right, let's continue here. Now, after 420 days came the Israelites, when they had heard that Jacob, my father, was mourning much concerning me. And they came and said unto me, how is it that thou sayest that thou wast a slave? And lo, we have learnt that thou art the son of a mighty man in the land of Canaan, and thy father still mourns for thee in sackcloth and ashes. When I heard this, my bowels were dissolved, and my heart melted, and I desired greatly to weep, but I restrained myself that I should not put my brethren to shame. But he loved his brethren. I mean, even after all this, he could have went free then. If he'd have said
right.
that, but he didn't do that. And I said unto them, I know not, I am a slave. Then therefore they took counsel to sell me that I should not be found in their hand. But they feared my father, lest he should come and execute upon them a grievous vengeance. For they had heard that he was mighty with Yah and with men. Then said the merchant unto them, release me from the judgment of Pentephri. And they came and requested me, saying, say that thou wast bought by us with money, and we will set us free. And now the Memphian woman said to her husband, buy the shoes, so for I fear, said she, that they are selling him. And straightway she sent a eunuch to the Ishmaelites and asked them to sell me. But since the eunuch would not agree to buy me at their price, he returned, having made trial of them. And he made known to his mistress that they asked a large price for this slave. And she sent another eunuch, saying, even though they demand two minas, give them, do not spare the gold, and only buy the boy and bring him to me. The eunuch therefore went and gave them 80 pieces of gold, and he received me. But to the Egyptian woman, he said, I have given 100. And so there's deceit going all around here.
Yeah.
And though I knew this, I held my peace, lest the eunuch should be put to shame. Joseph was a good man. I mean, who is this eunuch? Who is this eunuch to him? He's nobody. But he knows the guy was being deceitful, but he just let him go. So you see, therefore, my children, what great things I endured, that I should not put my brethren to shame. And, well, I'm telling you, his brothers are squirming, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Do ye also, therefore, love me, love one another, and with long suffering hide ye one another's fault. He's using his, he did to impart upon his children how much they should love their brethren.
Right.
For y'all delighted in the. Go ahead, Brother B.
No, it speaks for itself.
Okay,
that's right. Good. I'll let you go ahead because we're in overtime right now, and I want to finish this chapter. Go ahead.
Okay. For y'all delighted in the unity of the brethren and in the purpose of a heart that takes pleasure in love. And when my brethren came into Egypt, they learned that I had returned their money unto them and upbraided them not and comforted them. And after the death of Jacob, my father, I loved them more abundantly. And all things whatsoever he commanded, I did very abundantly for them. And I suffered them not to be afflicted in the smallest matter. And all that was in my heart I gave unto them. And their children were my children, and my children as their servants, and their life was my life, and all the sufferings was my sufferings, and all their sickness was my infirmity. My land was their land, and their counsel my counsel. And I exalted not myself among them in arrogance because of my worldly glory, but I was among them as one of the least. If ye also therefore walk in the commandments of the Most High, my children, he will exalt you there, and he will bless you with good things forever and ever. And if any one seeketh to do evil unto you, do well unto him, and pray for him, and ye shall be redeemed of the Most High from evil. For behold, you see that out of my humility and long-suffering, I took unto my wife the daughter of the priest of Helenopolis, and 100 talents of gold were given me with her, and the Most High made them to serve me. And he gave me also beauty as a flower beyond the beautiful ones of Israel. And he preserved me unto old age, and in strength and in beauty, because I was like in all things to Jacob. And hear ye, my children, also the vision which I saw. There were 12 hearts feeding, and in the 9 were first dispersed over all the earth, and likewise also the 3. And I saw that from Judah was born a virgin wearing a linen garment, and from her was born a lamb without spot. And on this left hand there was as it were lion, and all the beasts rushed against him, and the lamb overcame them and destroyed them and trod them underfoot. Now that's the Yeshua in the Old Testament. I mean, actually, in these testaments.
Yeah.
And because of him, the angels and men rejoiced in all the land, and in all the land. And these things shall come to pass in their session in the last days. Do ye therefore, my children, observe the commandments of the Most High, and honor Levi and Judah, for from them shall arise unto you the Lamb of Yah, who taketh away the sin of the world, one who saveth all the Gentiles in Israel. And this is a vision he had. For his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, which shall not pass away, but my kingdom among you shall come to an end as a watcher's hammock, which after the summer disappeareth. For I know that after my death, the Egyptian will afflict you, for Yah will avenge you, and will bring you into that which he promised to your fathers. But ye shall carry up my bones with you. For when my bones are being taken up thither, and the Lord and the Most High shall be with you in light, and Belar shall be in darkness with Egyptians, and carry me up Ashnat, your mother, in the hippodrome, and near Rachel, your mother, bury her. And when he had said these things, he stretched out his feet and died at a good old age. And all Israel mourned for him, and all Egypt with a great mourning. And when the children of Israel went out of Egypt, they took with them the bones of Joseph, and they buried him in Hebron with his fathers, and the years of his life were 110.
And well, his years are a little bit shorter than the other brothers who got to 125, 135, but such prophetic insight he had, because he was talking about the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, being born of a virgin, and he told them that what Egypt was going to do. So this was an incredible insight that these brothers had. You got any thoughts you want to share? I think we got 3 minutes left in overtime.
You know, that this is something that these non-messianic Hebrews need to be reading, because, like I said, it showed not only in the Old Testament, but here, everywhere you're reading, the coming of the Messiah is mentioned.
Yeah, very, very powerful. This has given me more insight into Joseph than I got from reading the Torah in the book of Exodus and everything else. This gives me more detail. So I praise the Father for these extra, as they call, extra biblical books that actually help us to see more of the story. And I've learned a lot about love. We have to love each other and cover each other and do it no matter what. And when our enemies come against us, we pray and we'll keep these commandments. We'll have favor. Now, I mean, he really pushed keeping the commandments, and he just really, we always saw the Most High give him favor in every situation. And he knew what, something inside of him told him what he was getting ready to endure, and that he had to go through it. So that was very powerful. That blessed me.
Yes, it was. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, Brother D, I think we made it. Well, we're in overtime, which means anyone who was listening over the computer didn't hear the rest of it. You had to call in to continue and hear the rest, but this will be in the archive. So I want to thank you for being here today, my brother. Got any final words?
No, just thanks for having me, and thanks for allowing me to join in on this. I mean, it's a blessing to me.
Wouldn't have it any other way. Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Yes, be encouraged, my people. Hebrews, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep your head up. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Most High willing, we'll be with you on tomorrow night with Straight No Chaser. Qam Yasha Allah.
Keep your head.